the purpose to DSC, and Jeffrey, I don't know if I can even say this first bullet, distributed heterogeneous configuration management platform. First of all, the idea of the configuration management platform as an API in this. So what are we talking about here with distributed heterogeneous configuration?
Let's break it down. So distributed. So often we're talking about distributing sets of servers, you know, the data center, all the elements of a data center. So it's not just about managing a machine. So it's a distributed system. Second is heterogeneous. You'll see we're very much influenced by the cloud. In case you're not up on current events, turns out there's this thing called the cloud. And it turns out that Microsoft's very invested in doing very well in the cloud. Now, the cloud is by nature heterogeneous, okay? Now, there's two planes of heterogeneity. The first plane of heterogeneity is the fabric itself. So we need to manage the physical devices, we need to be able to manage the storage devices, and we need to be able to the network devices. So that's a heterogeneous world. And then on top of that cloud, people then run their tenant workloads. And those tenant workloads are heterogeneous as well. Multiple versions of Windows, multiple versions of Linux. So it is distributed. It is heterogeneous. It is configuration management. So you want to be able to configure all those components, okay? And it is a platform. So it's a platform technology. And the point about a platform technology is it allows additional products to be layered on top of it. So here's the thing. Right now, there are a number of configuration management products. And that product works with what it works with, right? And so if you go to one of these products, you'll have to say, oh, well, do you support this, and do you support this, and do you support that? Oh, you don't support that. Well, the other guys, your competitors, support that. Right. And they'll say, yeah, but they don't support this. So it's kind of a mess. And so what we want to do is we want to have a platform, okay? So here's the platform play. Platform is, by the way, so that's the joke, right? What's an architecture? An architecture is something that transforms an N-by-N problem into an N-by-1 problem. So you got a lot of things that need to be, shut up. They all got it.
They got it. I feel like Richard Sideways. I don't get to joke. Sorry, Richard.
Do we have hand puppets I can help? Okay, so here's the model. You got a lot of configuration management products, and they vary for very good reasons.
Right.
Different philosophies, different approaches to user interface, different approaches to policy, different approaches to various real-world problems. But then they have to manage a whole bunch of things. So this is the N by N problem. And so right now you have this like, oh, well, this guy wants to be managed. He'll pick a vendor and then plug into that vendor. Well, what about the rest? Well, don't worry about them because some other vendor picked them. And so you just have a mess. And so the architecture here is a platform play. So what we do is we say, hey, everybody that has stuff to be managed, you write your providers this way, and you plug into the platform, the desired state configuration management platform. And then you configuration management tools, you take advantage of that platform, and you can get all of the things.
Okay. So really, this is actually kind of, again, one of these monumental things that usually people don't expect from Microsoft. They would expect you to come out with the product that manages Microsoft stuff. Instead, you're coming out with this platform, kind of an API that's saying, look, you make the products that you want, and then consumers can buy the products that they want that has the tooling that they want, but we're going to give you this piece down here so that everything works the way that you want.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's actually Microsoft's wheelhouse. We are a platform company.
Right.
I mean, think back if you're old enough. Think back when it used to be, here's the way it used to work. Children. When I was a young buck. No, it used to be that you'd have products and they would say which printers they worked with. Like, oh, I bought this word processor. It works with that printer. Oh, but I have that printer. Well, you got to get a different word processor. Like, and that's literally the way it worked. One of the things that made Windows so crazy successful was it had a printer device driver model, which meant all the printer manufacturers wrote a Windows device, a printer driver, and then any product could print to a printer. Now, so crazy as that sounds, that was a revolution. It really was. And we're basically doing the same thing. We're doing the platform play.
And
now, here's what that means.
Yeah.
It means two things. First is, if you have stuff to be managed, you definitely want to be plugging into desired state configuration. Write your stuff as desired state configuration resources. This enables your customers to choose whatever configuration management product they want and know that your product will be supported. So that's just fantastic. The next thing is, if you're a customer and you're thinking about a configuration management product, before you write a check, you want to make sure, are they layered on top of desired state configuration? Because if they're not, they're not aligned with the Windows Server strategy, and you're going to end up on the island of misfit toys.
Oh, I love that. The island of misfit toys. And I think that's a really important point, because if while you may hear of other products, like Chef is a great example.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that they do plug into DSC, because DSC is how Microsoft's handling it. If they didn't do that, you are on a misfit toy island.
And we've been working with a number of the configuration management products. Chef has been particularly forward-leaning, taking advantage of the technology, and being a great partner. So they come to us and said, hey, you know, this doesn't work out so well. And we're like, oh, thank you. We're changing the product to better fit with them. So they've been a fantastic partner.
And it turns out that it makes better products along with a better platform all the way around. Now, a couple of other topics here.
Yep.
Why declarative configurations? And I think I want to go back to this enterprise scenario of you, the captain, and me, the first officer kind of thing, of being a declarative configuration. As Jean-Luc Picard, or captain of the Starship, you don't really have to know how to align a deflector array or do a particular thing. You just have to know that you want something done.
Right.
And what a declarative configuration is a simple thing for an IT pro or someone to write that says, this is what I want. I don't really have to know the underlying details, right?
Exactly. You know, he's got experts that do that, right? They went through the Starship Academy. They know their phasers. They know their navigation systems. They know their communications. You know, Scotty really knows antimatter, whatever
right,
that thing is.
Right?
They're their experts. He just knows, I need to go faster because we're going to get whooped if we don't. I need those shields up. You figure out how to make that happen. He just is standing up above it, not getting bogged down in the details, and is able to look out, and just sort of like a general as well. A general doesn't say, hey, you know, go beat that guy up. It's like, take that hill. You figure out the rest. And so that's what it does, is it allows the resource providers are written by the people who are the experts in that resource. Okay. Now, then they've written it and done this idempotency stuff. And what then allows is another layer of people with less or fewer IT skills to be able to then compose these things together. And so basically it's a way of having the, you know, taking advantage of really skilled people to enable a less skilled group of people to do incredibly powerful stuff.
And I have to say, I'm really glad you kind of said it that way, because at first when DSC came out, I was feeling a little bit depressed. And let me tell you, I was feeling depressed. Because DSC is a configuration platform, this declarative configuration lets somebody that understands what's going on with the business to make decisions of what they need, but they didn't really have to understand exactly how do you install and configure the SQL server or the Exchange server or this or that, which is what I knew how to do as an IT guy. And I was like, wait a minute, they still need me. Well, I know how to do this, but so does everybody else, and that's been scripted. And so I was getting kind of depressed that I wasn't going to have a job because you've scripted me out of my job, man. But as it turns out, my knowledge and my expertise is helping to build those scripts, those resources that configuration can use to do its work.
Exactly. Well, you know, automation always is, it's the phenomena of accumulation. Right? So we build, we work, we struggle at this layer, but then we have an artifact that we share with others, and then we go build on the next layer and the next layer and the next layer. Right? That's why you don't go run out and hunt down an animal and eat it with your teeth, right? Somebody's done that, whatever. Anyway, you know, we build. That's what civilization is all about,
right?
Is accumulation of knowledge and specialization. Now, that's, again, why I'm, you know, not such a big fan of GUIs. Let me be clear. I love GUIs. I just want them on the client, never on my server. But the second thing is, when you sit there and, you know, you click, ah, I'm a smart guy. Look what I did. And you say, hey, that's great, Jeffrey. Can I help? And it's like, I don't know, maybe look over my shoulder the next time I do it.
Right.
Right? There's no way to share. It's hard to accumulate a community of smarter and smarter people. It's harder for a community to get smarter, whereas with scripts you can. By the way, there was a great thing you saw. Who was it? Our buddies Lenovo had some problems with this thing called Superfish, right? So they had gotten some malware installed at the factory. And so they sent out some instructions that say, hey, here's how you clean that up. And so I linked on those instructions, and it was a picture and a picture and a picture. And it's like four or five pages of, and then click here and you'll see this, and then click there and you see this. And Lee Holmes tweeted a single PowerShell one-liner, said, Or you could do this.
Or you could do this.
And just cut and paste and boom, it's done.
It's repeatable. It removes human error. It improves the quality, and it's scalable.
And as my wife will tell you, if instructions have more than two steps in it, I will screw it up. So trying to follow this, like, and then click, and click, the ADD kicks in. But cut and paste, two instructions, I can do it.
The other thing is that is so cool that we've already kind of shown everybody is using these declarative configurations, getting it sent out, and then it manages drift. So this change process that could occur after the fact that may not be documented well, that may be causing problems in my environment, now seems to go away. I forget what the actual numbers were, but it's like 80% of the things that go wrong in an environment are due to change. And what happens is, that's why we have the key phrase, anytime something goes wrong, what's changed?
Nothing.
Or for some people would say, who made a change, which not a good way to phrase that, but what's changed is the phrase. This can start to remove that phrase and remove those incidents, improving business agility and uptime.
Yep.
Because when the question what's changed happens is, well, nothing, because we have drift management now.